You tuned in New Sound Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Day. Now, when here at New Sound Radio 92 FM, well, we heard a farm was opening up down in Beckton. Well, first of all, we thought, oh, it must be another one of these city farms. I don't know, a couple of chickens, a few sheep, and a bit of a vegetable patch. But that when we heard that this one is going to be inside, yeah, inside a disused warehouse, well, not entirely obvious, yeah? Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we have invited along Tom Webster, co-founder of the Grow Up Urban Farms. Tom, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
Well, I don't know, farming in a disused warehouse in Beckton, do you know, how's that going to work?
So
it's not obvious to me, I tell you.
We use a technology called aquaponics, which is a combination of hydroponics, where you grow plants in a nutrient solution rather than soil, and fish farming. So we take the wastewater from a fish farm, we use that as the fertilizer for the plants. The plants clean the water and we return it to the fish as fresh, clean water.
And there's no soil involved in this. So it's not like grow bags and things like that people grow their tomatoes in or anything. There's nothing like that. It's just
water. Yeah. So all of the nutrients the plant need are provided by the fish waste. It's a very symbiotic relationship.
So we're talking fish poo here.
Fish poo. Yeah, we're talking fish
poo. Let's see what that's what we're talking about. Okay. I mean, is anybody else doing this? Is this a new thing? Is this... Come on, tell us about it.
So aquaponics itself is not a particularly new thing. It's been done for centuries.
For centuries? People haven't taken over warehouses. Oh, go on.
Not necessarily in warehouses, yeah. But, you know, the way of using fish waste to fertilise a crop is not a new thing. I mean, often in Asia, rice paddies are filled with tilapia or prawns to fertilise the ground before it's planted out. So it's using that same sort of that approach to growing food, but just doing it in a more advanced way. In terms of growing in warehouses using aquaponics, this is something that started off in the States about 5 years ago. There's a couple of big companies there in Chicago and St. Paul's doing exactly what we're doing, using artificial light and using aquaponics to grow salads in city centres.
Okay. And so it's about in London. Is anybody else doing this in London?
So there's a company called Growing Underground who are doing a similar thing in the air raid shelter, the air raid tunnels underneath Clapham. They're doing hydroponics, so they don't have the fish involved. But yeah, it's a very similar process.
Okay. So there's the idea of the fish. I mean, is it about the idea of some sort of balance got to be there or something like that? Because you've got to add the right number of fish and the right amount. Yeah,
exactly. It's a balance between the amount of food we feed the fish and the amount of plants we grow off that. So essentially, the plants are working to clean the water for the fish, and you've got to balance that relationship between the fish and the plants.
And what sort of fish do you... I mean, are these for eating? Do you eat these?
They
fish?
Are for eating, yeah. The great thing about aquaponics in cities is that we're producing a source of protein close to the point of consumption, and protein is so often one of the highest... You know, the part of our diet that has the most the highest environmental impact. So, yeah, we're farming tilapia.
Tilapia. Oh, yes, you do sometimes see them in the supermarket, didn't you? Frozen ones in the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're actually the most widely farmed fish in the world, and we have very little tilapia kind of eaten in the UK. Quite big with the kind of ethnic community, but not
you
so
see them if you go down places like Green Street. You'll see them sometimes on the markets definitely. Down in things like down in Whitechapel and things like that. They're not native to Britain, though, are they?
No, they're not. They're a tropical fish.
Ah. Can they live in... Because this is a bit of an issue, isn't it? Because fish farming has got a bit of a bad name in some places, hasn't it? Yeah.
Fish farming has a bit of a bad name for several reasons. Part of it is because of invasive species getting into the water. And actually, tilapia need warm water. If they were to escape and somehow travel across Beckton to the Thames, they wouldn't, or into the Lee River or somewhere like that, they wouldn't survive because of water temperatures.
So that's not a danger, that's not an issue.
As an invasive species thing, it's not an issue at all.
Okay. The other thing about fish is, like, well, okay, you've got these fish and they grow. What do you feed the fish? I'm just thinking how this all works. I'm just thinking, well, okay, you eat the salads and things that you're growing in one end of it. You can eat the fish, but what do you feed the fish?
So we feed the fish a standard industrial fish food.
Okay, right.
So tilapia are omnivorous, which means they don't actually need any animal-based protein in their diet. Although the fish kind of fish food market hasn't quite caught up with the sustainability issues yet, what they do is offer a low fish meal content. So fish meal is essentially wild-caught fish that are ground up and put into pellets to feed farmed fish. So by using a low fish meal content, it means we have the minimal impact on kind of fish stocks from feeding fish.
Okay.
Farm fish.
So we got the fish, they're all in a great big tank, and the water's then, it's pumped around to where you're growing, the area where you're growing the plants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What sort of plants do you grow?
A real variety. We're growing everything from microgreens, which are the those first shoots of plants which chefs use to decorate beautiful dishes in high-end restaurants, to you know, your regular herbs, your parsley, your basil, your coriander, to lettuce, spinach, rocket.
Have they got to be sort of what you might call sort of high value goods? Because you couldn't really get, I mean, something like a cabbage, which takes, a year or something to grow, and you sell a cabbage for, 80 pence or a pound or something like that. I mean, you couldn't really be growing things like that. It wouldn't really work out.
Yeah, we'll be growing whole heads of lettuce, so your standard lettuces. So in that sense, they are a premium product in that they will last longer, they will taste better than what you'd would normally be available. But really, the ambition for us is that as we scale our growing, that we can offer an affordable produce that is a sustainable option.
And what sort of scale are we talking about? I mean, you know, when you're saying you're growing, how much do you intend to grow?
Okay, so on...
And how many fish are we talking about? In this warehouse, I'm just trying to picture this whole thing. I'm just trying to get a picture in my mind, yeah?
So to help with the visual of it, we've got a 6,000 square foot warehouse, which is divided into half of it is for fish, and that's 12 tanks that are about a metre and a half diameter, and there will be 8,000 fish a year produced from that.
Right, okay. And this is big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 4-ton fish production, so it's in terms of the scale of actual fish farming, it's nothing, but in terms of urban food production and what's happening at the moment, it's a massive
This isn't Mickey Mouse, though, is it?
No, this isn't Mickey Mouse. We started as a company a few years ago with a demonstration system, and we've been operating for 2 years now. We have a really good understanding of the technology, and we work with some really good consultants who have been in the fish farming in the horticultural field for years.
Yeah.
And from a salad perspective, we'll be growing the equivalent of 200,000 bags of salad a year.
Wow. I mean, I thought that this was all a little bit of a novelty type idea, but this is big stuff, isn't it? This is big business, really, you're talking about here. Who's going to be buying this? Are you going to be able to buy this down the market? Where's it going to be on sale?
So we're going to try and distribute most of it to within Newham, and what we can't sell in Newham, we'll look to Tower Hamlets and Hackney, and then sell it all as locally as possible.
This is a big issue, what they call food miles, isn't it?
Yes. Food miles for us are a big driving force. The other thing is, so that's mainly to restaurants we're talking about now, but we'll also be selling through there's a new thing called a food assembly, which is like an online platform where you can buy food. It's like a farmer's market online, and they have collection points where you go down and collect all your produce. So it's actually quite secure because there's no cash exchange on site. There's a few of those popping up, and we'll also be selling through the food assembly.
Okay, and how about jobs? Are there any jobs for this?
Yep, so... You know, a big part of what we do is our social impact. We're really focused on that. So as part of scaling the business, we'll be taking on 3 new young people who have a history of poor educational attainment. We'll be putting them through Horticultural College and then giving them an apprenticeship on a London Living salary as part of, our ramping up over the next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And have people been able to visit this as well? I'm just thinking, would they be able to have a look round? Because it's just a bit of something, I can imagine people going, I want to have a look at this, see how this all works.
You know, we'll have a visitor centre in the farm, and that will be a range of visits only. It's not something you can just turn up and see. In terms of actually walking around the farm itself, it's a completely biosecure environment, and we really have to maintain extremely high standards of biosecurity then. So,
what do you mean biosecurity?
So, people bringing in pests and diseases. And not so often the main ways that pests are transferred into a growing environment is on the back of someone's T-shirt. So we have to be really careful about bringing people in. That being said, we have a demonstration system, like I mentioned earlier, in Stratford. It's on a project called Roof East, which is on top of the Stratford Mall. So if you walk into the Stratford Centre shopping centre, you go into the elevator, press the button for the 8th floor, you go up onto the roof there, and we will be open to the public as part of Roof East on every Saturday throughout the summer, and you can come along, you can talk to Oscar who works for us and knows a lot about aquaponics, and he can tell you everything you want to know.
Sounds brilliant. That's really something to take the kids, wouldn't it be interesting?
Oh, it's brilliant. The kids really like it. You talked about fish poo. Kids love poo.
You talk about that, yeah, you get them going on time. The other thing you said about the problem of disease and things like that, do you use a lot of chemicals? Do you have to use a lot of insecticides and all these sorts of things?
So we use no chemical pesticides or fertilizers in our growing. Partly for an ethical reason, we don't believe in it. But actually, if we started spraying our crop with pesticides, that would get back into the fish and the fish would be killed by the pesticides.
Oh, right.
So the way that we control pest populations is using something called integrated pest management. We get natural predators of things that are pests for us, and we use those to keep the pest populations low. So for instance, with aphids, we use ladybugs.
Aphids.
Greenflies.
Okay.
So for greenfly, we have a fleet of ladybugs that come in and munch them all down. And keep
sounds like off. The little old lady who swallowed the fly type thing. If you know the song or you don't, I won't bother to explain it if you don't. Yeah. So okay, what is, you say you don't use chemicals? Yeah. Are you organic then?
No, we're not organic. In Europe, to be organic, you have to be grown in the soil, in the ground. That's just the way it is. It's not something we have an opinion on. You know, in the States, the way we grow food, so aquaponics can be certified organic, and there are several aquaponic growers that are certified. We don't see it as a big issue. It's just not something we can say we are.
I mean, how did you get started into it? I mean, obviously you're passionate about what you do. How did you get started in all this? Didn't you just sort of, you know, like most kids, I want to be a train driver or a spaceman or whatever, you know, and you said, you know, oh no, I want to get into aquaponics. I mean, what stage did that happen?
Quite late, to be honest. Okay. So I'm a biologist. I then worked for a while in kind of building design and sustainability, and got very tired of making excuses for buildings not being sustainable rather than innovating and kind of using my skill set. I also have a very long-standing passion for food. I absolutely love food.
Oh, you've done a New Sound Radio. We're all like this. I think greedy is the word we're looking for.
So, yeah, a combination of sustainability and food led me to look at how we can grow food sustainably in cities.
Yeah.
I looked at soil and then kind of started looking at hydroponics, and then looked at aquaponics. It seemed like the natural follow-on as a way we can grow food at a density at which it's commercially viable in cities.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing about this is, I mean, I could see, well, there you are, you're growing these salads and vegetables inside this warehouse. You need some light. Do you use a lot of energy? Is there an issue around that, around your amount of electricity? So, you've got to pump water around and things like that, haven't you?
Yeah, completely. There is an energy use, and it would be silly to ignore that. We do everything we can to minimise our energy use. And, you know, in doing so, we use specialist horticultural LED lighting that is tailored to the exact light that the plant needs. So we don't use any light on the crop that the plant won't make use of. And then everything that goes to waste from an energy perspective, so heat. And so mainly heat is the kind of the waste.
The heat of the lights, you mean? Exactly, yeah, any lights, yeah.
So anything that is put onto the crop that is beyond what the crop needs, we then use that to heat the water in the fish tanks. So okay. we recycle as much energy as possible. And because we're growing so close to cities, we reduce the amount of waste that's produced because the handling and the transportation, the food lasts longer in the fridge, that the energy balance between growing food the way we do in cities and, say, importing crops throughout all the winter, it balances off.
I mean, are you going to be financially viable? Is this going to, you know, is this like a going concern, this is?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a going concern of ours, of being financially viable. We, you know, we've raised our investment based on being a financially viable company. We're a limited company. We're not a charity or a kick, and that's really important to us. Mm. In order for this to be a long-term, sustainable and part of a smart city, it needs to be something that works economically.
Yeah. And I suppose, yeah, the price of energy must come into all that as well. But presumably, I mean, whether you could do it, you'd have to get planning permission for it. I mean, presumably you could put some sort of, like, you know, solar panels and things on the outside.
Exactly. As things like solar get more efficient, we can look to integrate that into our buildings as well.
Yeah. It does set this up, though. I mean, are you sort of faced by lots of regulations and rules? You know, I'm thinking around farming, there's lots of EEC rules, there's lots of government rules, and lots of health regulation. I mean, did you find that, was that all a bit of a nightmare, or was that fairly straightforward?
Regulation's been fairly straightforward. I think the key to it is having an open dialogue with the people who are the regulators for us at the end of the big people are people like CFAS, who are the DEFRA equivalent for fish farming. So we've spoken to them all along
they're
the way.
They're the governed quango body,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they kind of govern body, fish farming in the UK, and we've been very open with them. You know, they've looked over our designs for the fish farm, and again with the local authority with Newham, we've had a really, you know, good discourse with them around what it is we're doing, and yeah, so no big issues with the regulation.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we've got to go to the break now, yeah? But I don't know, if there's one reason that aquaponics as it's called, yeah? A farmer will make a positive contribution to East London, yeah? If there's one thing it would do, what do you think that would be?
We really hope that it can enable people to get a better understanding of where their food comes from, and in doing so, give them the ability to make more informed decisions about their food choices.
Tom Webster from Grow Up Urban Farms, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you will stay, won't you? Because after the break, we've got a feature on, it's a woman who was made homeless, but it's a bit of a good news. You'll stay for that, won't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Advertise on New Sound Radio for as little as £10 per day.